Welcome back to the Kyle Keegan Radio Show, where we are bringing producer-centered radio to your favorite podcasting apps. What is this show about? We are here to bring out nothing short of the very best in entrepreneurs. We make way more than a living. We build things that are bigger than just us and our own efforts. We embrace entrepreneurs and the value that they bring to the world. We believe that entrepreneurship is a high calling and an honorable pursuit. Our own efforts are finite, but our businesses can be infinite. The world's resources are available to good leaders, and it's our job to be those good leaders. Having created great wealth after you do all of this, you are an option chosen above the alternatives by our customers, investors, and employees. Your value creation literally improved those lives. Want to interact with the show? Text 713-528-8219. Also follow the show on Telegram. If you do not have a U.S. phone number in particular, Twitter and KeeganRadio.com. If you are getting great value out of the show, the only thing I ask of you, ladies and gentlemen, is that you give us your five-star reviews and also share the show with your friends. Thank you not just for listening to the show, because I appreciate you being here as a listener, but also I thank you for being who you are. You're an entrepreneur, you're a value creator, you're a problem solver. The world is better because of you. So I am appreciative not just for you guys being here. I'm appreciative for what you guys do, and that it's amazing. So no one should ever be able to tear you down. No one should ever be able to tell you otherwise, and you shouldn't believe it either if they do. You guys are awesome. Anyway, welcome to episode 311. I hope you enjoyed 310, where I talked about the NATO price hike. And this one was kind of, you know, a while back. I haven't done a show in a little while, and you may hear a little bit of a difference in my voice here. I've had a cough for a couple of, you know, actual over a week, and it's been pretty miserable. So needless to say, it would have been absolutely disgusting to get on the radio show and cough into a microphone the whole time. So I just, you know, thought, you know, I'm going to take a break for now. And it couldn't have come at a worse time, because I got a brand new piece of badass audio hardware. The Rodecaster Pro 2 just came out, and I bought one the moment I saw that it came out. And you also may notice that things sound pretty sweet at the same time, even though my voice might be a little messed up. It sounds pretty amazing over here. I've got automatic broadcast audio EQing settings and stuff like that. I haven't really finished playing with it, but it is promising to be even better than the Rodecaster Pro, which I had before. Diving right in on that. Anyway, NATO price hike. They all say it's Putin's price hike. They all say that it's Putin's fault that the prices are high. Whose fault is it really? Well, it's the people who make the policies around this. Putin didn't sign into law some kind of price hike on your gasoline or your goods, anything like that. No, he did not. You know who did? Your leaders. Moving on to today. Anyway, it's about time we talk about getting mindset right, okay? I have heard it a couple of times very recently that it's time that basically the intelligent and capable take over. There's going to be the biggest wealth transfer in the history of the world, and it's about to take place. Why is that? Well, there's a lot of wealth in the hands of idle people right now. There's a lot of wealth in the hands of people who have worked very hard for it over their life, and for better or worse, they had it easy. I wouldn't tell anyone that they didn't work hard. I'd never do that. But what they didn't have to do is worry about the future the way that maybe we have to worry about the future and what's going to unfold over the next several years. They just got to, many of them, show up, right? Show up for life, and life was pretty awesome to them. I'm talking, of course, to the folks who are at retirement age and stuff like that now. That's where the majority of the money always sits in a population. And I've heard several times now that this is the biggest wealth transfer ever, and you are going to see the go-getters, the capable, the intelligent take over. You're going to see them have more and more wealth provide more and more value, and that value, particularly in the situations we find ourselves right now, economically and politically, it is time that those folks take over. And I thought it was very interesting. I don't know necessarily if I share a perfect view of that, that everybody who's smart and entrepreneurial is about to take over, and everybody who convinced themselves that they were a genius because of all of the beautiful rewards for unremarkable decisions they've made through their lives, they're about to be humbled. I don't know. I don't know if that is going to be the case, but I can think of one person in particular, some oil exec that I know of, that lived a very genius life, quote unquote, right? They bought the nicest houses that they possibly could all throughout the way, always seemed to stretch themselves, and retired very wealthy. Why? Because the housing market roared forward, and had they not done that, they would have actually been worse off. So they took all these risks that they didn't probably even know they were taking, assuming that the housing market always goes up no matter what without fail, which it did for them, and were rewarded for it. So we look at this, and you can be an intelligent person and potentially do harm, right? So you have an actual knowledge of what's going on in the world, and it holds you back because you think to yourself, well, I'm not going to get into that mess. You know, I'm not going to be caught off guard with that. I feel like more intelligence oftentimes creates more conservatism in personal finance. And that is why we're here today, to talk about mindset from not a personal finance standpoint, right? Personal finance is honestly, I believe it should be summed up as self-control. Control yourself, make the best decisions that you can make, make easily affordable decisions, and be done with it. What you really should be concerning yourself with is what kind of immense value that you can bring to the market. Are you actually a genius instead of a pretend genius like the person I just described? That is what we're trying to figure out, and that is what we're trying to build. We want to build our own actual real genius, a genius that stands against anything that could happen. And what you see right now is almost a mourning of what was, right? It's not 2019 anymore. We wish it was. We all wish it was. 2019 was probably the peak year before the crash, and then it's going to take a while to dig out of this hole, or if the country even emerges from the hole, or if something else emerges from the hole that just cratered underneath everybody. Whatever. Right? Whatever. I think the people who have spent their life ignoring this now finally are going to get their asses kicked. Whereas the people who don't ignore this stuff, who see the writing on the wall, who understand the implications of what is at play, will finally be rewarded. Yeah, okay, I can get behind that. My thoughts really are that it's going to take more. It's going to take more than blissfully prancing through life, buying the most expensive house you can buy while you obey a boss. It's going to take more than that going forward. And you guys are equipped for more. You guys are equipped to do more. You guys have a desire to do more. That's why you are here. That's why you're 9 minutes into an entrepreneurial radio show. That is the key. You have the mindset, or at least the beginnings of the mindset. But let's build upon that. Just as a little primer here, I've got an article from Zero Hedge. Fantastic publication, by the way. Follow them if you haven't already. Zero Hedge has some of the most, what I would consider contrarian, I suppose, opinions on basically everything that's going on in the world. They take a just skeptic stance on basically everything, and that is a really great publication for me because I'm pretty skeptical. Anyway, this is a article titled, What a Time to Be Alive. A few things are going on in the world today, it says. A war in Ukraine, a global pandemic, political uncertainty, crashing financial markets, $7 gas, layoffs, inflation, and we're only 2 years into this century's roaring 20s. There is so much chaos in the world today that it's easy to say, Life sucks. The world sucks. And everything sucks. Yes, it actually says this in the article. This is why I like Zero Hedge. See, guys? Today, I am asking you to consider a different, more optimistic take. Life is good. In fact, it isn't just good. Life is the best that it ever has been. And you guys know that I've done that episode recently about the glass perhaps being half full instead of half empty, and discussing how particularly for entrepreneurs this might be the case. So this is kind of where we're headed today. Turn back the clock, it says. Death. If we were living in Alexandria near zero, Kyoto during the samurai era, or Stockholm in 1655, Paris during Napoleon's reign, each of us would have had a coin flip's chance of surviving adolescence. Maybe we wouldn't have survived our own births. Maybe we would have fallen victim to famine, sickness, war, infection, labor, or abundance of other adverse conditions. From 500 BC to 1900 AD, death reigned supreme. The world's average youth mortality rate, defined as death before age 15, was 46.7%. So basically a coin flip, ladies and gentlemen, whether you'd even reach 15 years old. How many of you guys are older than 15? I'm going to say all of you. Additionally, one quarter of infants didn't even reach their first birthdays. For 2,400 years, your odds of reaching your 15th birthday were reduced to the spin of a roulette wheel, but over the last century, everything changed. Talk about the great enrichment, right? That's what this is. It's not going to mention it, but it's called the great enrichment, and you can look it up. By 1950, the global youth mortality rate had nearly been cut in half to 27. In 2017, we hit 4.6. Somalia, pretty much the crappiest country for life there is currently at 14.8. So still better than it was just a few years earlier, back in 1950. So it has changed dramatically. We move on to poverty. It says in 1820, with a global population of 1 billion people, it says 964 million of them lived in extreme poverty on less than about $1.90 per day, adjusted for inflation. In 2015, with a global population of 7.35 billion, only 733 million people lived in extreme poverty. So while the world's population increased by 6.3 billion, the number of people living in extreme poverty actually decreased by 230 million. That's pretty cool. So the population went up 7x, and the poverty amount of people total in the world went down. That's crazy. So the ratio of poverty-stricken people to people in general has never been lower, and that's pretty cool. It says you can be poor in the United States today and still have a cell phone, internet connection, food, and shelter. Those living in government housing today have a higher standard of living than the upper class did in 1900. John D. Rockefeller, the richest man in modern history, didn't even have air conditioning. As recently as 1981, 42% of the world lived in extreme poverty. Today, that number is just 9%. A variable highly correlated to poverty is literacy. Okay, so literacy is the next thing on the list. Even centuries after the advent of the printing press, books were still reserved for the elites. Written knowledge passed down from generation to generation could only be accessed by a select few, with the rest of the populace relying on word-of-mouth communication. Letters couldn't be written, notes couldn't be taken, information could not be recorded unless you were born into the right house. In 1800, just 12% of the world's population was literate. In 1900, 21% of the world's population was literate. Still horrible. But in 2016, 86% of the world's population is literate. Why? Easy access to all of this kind of stuff, right? You might start seeing where I'm going with this. Perspective, it says. If you were born in Paris, France in 1820, you had a 56% chance of making it to your 15th birthday. Assuming you survived, there was a 38% chance that you knew how to read and write. And even if you were alive and literate, you had a 50-50 shot of being in extreme poverty. But let's say that you beat the odds. You were a living, literate Parisian with a modest income. Welcome to the good life. You would spend your entire adulthood in a chaotic, politically unstable, post-Napoleon France. Your grandchildren would have fought in World War I, and their children would have fought in World War II. The reward for overcoming all of life's obstacles was two generations of war that tore your country apart. But at least gas prices weren't $7. I love Zero Hedge. Do you see why I like these guys? It's hard to internalize just how good we have it because our own life experiences are our homeostasis, our base point for comparison. We read about the hardships of history, but we don't experience them. We don't feel them. How could we? Decades of war, sickness, and hardship have been reduced to paragraphs and documentaries at this point. But those wars, sicknesses, and hardships were all too real for those that lived them. The plague of whatever the hell that word is wiped out 40% of Constantinople's population in 4 months. The Russian plague killed 33% of Moscow's population in a single season, and 75% of the remaining populace fled. The COVID-19 pandemic has been bad, no doubt, but we can imagine a world with 4 million New York City deaths in just 4 months, where millions of others flee, fearing for their lives. Because that happened, and it happened more than once in history. Those accounts feel like faraway stories from an era in the distant past, lost somewhere between fact and fantasy, but they were just as real to past generations as our conflicts are to us today. It says a million little miracles. History is nothing if not a series of mankind conquering nature's limitations. Now you see how this is building. See where the entrepreneur might fit in here. Ladies and gentlemen, the printing press allowed our knowledge to conquer death. It also created opportunities for a lot of people, right? It wasn't just about the guy who created the printing press got rich because he created the printing press. The printing press created opportunities to create more printing presses. And the fact that it printed a medium created an opportunity for content creators, our earliest content creators, to actually create stuff that people would find value in and consume and buy and pay them for. It created a big deal for humanity, and humanity got to benefit from it on the other hand, right? Information flowed into their house easier than ever before. And can you imagine? Wow, books, that was easy flow of information. Can you imagine today? I'm holding in my hand a phone that can access pretty much any bit of information you can think, like every bit of information known to the human race can be accessed on this somehow. Like there's an app for that or something, you know, there's at least a website or, you know, some kind of book I can download or something, right? I can get it on this thing in my hand and it'll fit it all. All of that shit fits in my pocket and that is really cool. It goes on to say penicillin allowed our bodies to conquer infection, yeah, the first antibiotic, ladies and gentlemen. People died of stupid stuff before we had antibiotics. And that's also like when you watch these survival shows or you go see like The Walking Dead or something like that, and you see these shows like these people are dying of simple crap because they don't have access to antibiotics. Well, that was the case. That was regular life back before they invented that. And that's pretty crazy to even think about. If you got a bacterial infection, you might be dying. Yikes, how many of us have had bacterial infections that got knocked out really quick with antibiotics and we're thankful for them, but yeah, that's just life. That's just what we have, no big deal. Could we have potentially died because of that? I don't know. Many of us might have, you know. Fertilizers have allowed our farms to conquer famine. Yeah, stuff grows better. Steam engines allowed our ships to conquer windless seas. Yeah, that's cool. You know, we don't need sails to go everywhere, and they're faster now. Airplanes allowed us to conquer gravity and distant travel. Phones allowed us to conquer long-distance communication, and more than that, as I just explained. Computers allowed us to conquer the spatial limitations of data storage. I just kind of talked about that in your pocket. Over time, these little miracles, these little breakthroughs, they compounded. Each generation built from the shoulders of their predecessors, beginning life on third base thanks to a triple hit by the generation before. And innovation has accelerated as a result. None of this is government, ladies and gentlemen. This is you guys. You are the living current generation of the people who made lives better before. You are the ones bringing solutions to the world instead of bitching. You know, we may find it irresistible to bitch sometimes. Sometimes it just deserves it. But we're at least the people who offer up solutions. We're not people who say, oh, they should do this and they should do that. You want to know what is the mark of an unintelligent person? Is the person that goes, they should do that and they should do this and they. How about we or I should do this? I should do that. There is opportunity there that has gone untapped. This thing pisses me off, and because of it, it probably pisses other people off. And if it pisses other people off, they may be willing to pay to get rid of that pain point, the thing that pisses them off. We look at the world incredibly different because we're entrepreneurs. It says, every single thing we take for granted today would be nothing short of a miracle to anyone who lived just 100 years ago. Supermarkets with fresh selections of every food imaginable are magic. Planes that will transport you anywhere in the world in under a day are magic. Clean water is magic. Antibiotics are magic. Cell phones are magic. Plumbing is magic. Anesthesia is magic. The fact that you can read this blog from New York to New Delhi or to New Zealand is magic. But to us, none of this is magic. To us, the real magic is that our ancestors survived with so much less. Inflation sucks, COVID sucks, war sucks, and high gas prices suck. But we live in a world where you can FaceTime your best friend from another country, they can fly to visit you the next day, you can instantly communicate with anyone who has an internet connection. The poorest people in first world countries still have food, water, shelter, and access to healthcare, while 200 years ago, a large gash on your leg was a death sentence. Pretty powerful bottom line. We struggle with purpose. Our ancestors struggled with survival. Asking, what do I want to do with my life, is a privilege. Considering the primary concern for everyone before us was, how do I stay alive? So while we tweet, text, and opine about the disastrous state of the world today, it is important to remember that the depths of our modern hells would be the pinnacles of our ancestors' lives. Our problems are a privilege. And it is a good way to look at it, particularly as entrepreneurs. And of who is responsible for this? The entrepreneur, right? The entrepreneurs are the ones that built this stuff. There were pain points in history that were addressed by a value-seeking entrepreneur, a profit motive, somebody who knew that if they developed a cure for something, if they developed a way to transport people, if they developed a better way to communicate, that they would be rewarded for their development and that this would be good for humanity as well at the same time. And here we find ourselves amidst a bunch of people that complain a lot, right? And I think proportional to the amount that people complain is the amount they aren't ready for what's next. We may have some significant problems in this world ahead. Are we going to have starving, famine, all of this kind of stuff like the World Economic Forum seems to think? I think this is directly against everything that the World Economic Forum talks about with shortages because population is a problem. I think population is what solves our problems. More people working on the problems, more people providing value to the world. The Charles Koch book, Believe in People. If you haven't gotten that book, get it. It talks about how people are the answer to our problems, not a problem to be managed like the World Economic Forum seems to consider them. So we need to get our mindset right, and that's kind of the primer, right? Believe that you are the person that is equipped to tackle this stuff. That's what you're here for. You're an entrepreneur, you have an entrepreneurial mind, you have stumbled upon this as a potential career path, then know that you're part of the solution. You are a problem solver in this world. Now look around. People are talking about all of the problems in the world. Yes, it's a clown world. I'm going to call it the clown world because we don't have necessarily a ton of problems, but we have a bunch of freaking clowns. Clowns everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, these problems that people are highlighting aren't as bad as the problems of the past. So, okay, are you supposed to feel guilty that, you know, you feel bad about these problems. No. What you do as an entrepreneur is you look at those problems and say, how can we fix them? Because that's what humanity does. That's what the intelligent do. They take the problems of the day, even if they are wimpy compared to the problems of the past, and they go about solving them, doing the best of their ability to make the world a better place. That's why this works. That's why we've seen this increase over time. And it's why, if you don't get distracted with the thing, the current thing, the social media outrage of the month club, and you instead focus on what you can do, right? Your circle of influence versus your circle of concern, right? You focus on what you can influence. You focus on the things that can improve your life, your family's life, and the people who you employ, the people who invest in you, and the people who work for you, all of their lives. How can you make their lives better? And that is where we need to recenter. If you're talking about a couple generations ago where people were mostly concerned with survival, like I got to go to work at the mine and make sure that I put food on the table for my family, they weren't thinking about solving problems. You have a luxury, ladies and gentlemen, if you're blowing time on social media concerning yourself with the thing, you have more time to worry and ponder and bitch about your purpose in life than anybody in history. Like, you have a luxury to be able to whine and complain and care about such insignificance, right? The thing, right? The current thing. So my point is, turn that off for the first of our series. We are going to do a big series on mindset, basically diving in and approaching the world from an entrepreneurial perspective in 2022. And beyond, what that looks like and how to get your mind right in order to do it. And this is just the very beginning. And I have to say, I'm a bit wiped out because of a little bit of sickness here. And you can probably tell that it wasn't perfectly on my game today. But the point remains, this is exactly the show I wanted to get out. And it was a beginning, the part one of getting our mindset right to approach the world in 2022 and beyond. Instead of what the world wants you to be, which is a concerned, the thing caring about just lemming. We're not lemmings here. We're the people, I guess, that are ahead of the lemmings and the lemmings. I don't know. Anyway, we are the ones who make the future better. And you can make your future and your family's future much, much better if you decide to tackle this instead of complain. So that's what I have for you today. I do hope you enjoyed it. I know it was only 28 minutes. Check out the show notes on the way out for social media and links. And stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, while I unpack more of the mindset discussion as we build a solid foundation for entrepreneurship going into the uncertainty ahead. There's always that uncertainty ahead. We're not going to be the blissful ignorant. We're not going to be caught off guard. We're going to do what we can. That's what this whole thing is going to be about. So we're going to do a series, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for supporting the show and being a part of our movement up the charts. Join the progress thread at thefastlaneforum.com. God bless you guys. Entrepreneurs like you build the future, as I always say. And have a fantastic rest of your day. Stay tuned for our next episode. Until next time, keep building amazing things. Start thinking about the amazing things you want.